This meeting is being recorded.
Oh, that's even a new part. I don't know if I'd heard that. Okay, so we'll get started. I'll get my gavel out and make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is March 24th, 2022 at 9 a.m. We have two items on the agenda today. I believe the first that we're going to take involves a conditional use permit, and this would be number 2102500, involving a request for approval of a conditional use permit to construct an 800 square foot accessory dwelling unit or ADU on a 1.2 acre property at 3492 Harper Hill Road Southeast in the Port Orchard area of the county. And the second matter would be number 2105172, involving a request for approval of a variance from the front setback requirements of the Kitsap County Code to allow for construction of a detached garage on a developed residential property at 7061 Pirates Cove Avenue Southwest. So in terms of the first matter, we'll get going here in a sec, but to introduce myself, my name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, and the county has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal complies with the county's comprehensive plan, the zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific requirements for approval of a conditional use permit under section 17550.030A of the municipal code, as well as the specific requirements for an ADU under section 17410.060B of the code. To that end, I received 21 exhibits in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review. These include a staff report prepared by county staff, the plans for the ADU themselves, information on the property. There was a concurrency test done related to traffic, and I reviewed that. The site plans, a project narrative prepared by the applicant, the questionnaire that is prepared by the applicant for projects like this. The information on the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, some additional technical information and reports and information on the notice that went out in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing. So I'm going to go ahead and admit those 21 exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. Speaking of testimony, all testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act, or LUPA, the audio recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits, and my decision would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. Finally, here in Kitsap County, we generally leave the record open one additional week after we use remote meeting technology for hearings like this to ensure that if there were any members of the public that had difficulty in signing in and participating in the hearing, they would have an opportunity to let us know and submit written comments in lieu of public testimony. So just wanted to put that on the record up front so that we keep that in mind. And then also the order that we typically follow, and I believe we're going to follow today, is first we'll hear from planning staff who will give an overview of the proposal and sort of explain how we got to today's hearing through the review process. Then traditionally, we'll see if there is an applicant or applicant representative that has joined us. It definitely is the applicant's burden in all permitting matters to ensure that all the information is needed for me to make a decision. I don't believe we have an applicant here, but we'll check again when we get to that point in the hearing. And also then we'll check if there are any members of the public interested in testifying, and if so, they would have that opportunity. We don't expect too many folks to join us today in terms of the public. I don't believe there were any public comments submitted in response to either of the proposals that we're hearing, but we will make sure and check to see if anyone has joined that might be interested in testifying so they have that opportunity. And if that happens, then we'll go back to the applicant team if anyone shows up, and county staff to determine whether any response is necessary or appropriate. So that's the order we're gonna follow. I thank folks for being here. And with that, I'll go ahead and get planning staff sworn in. So Mr. Gurney, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great, thank you for being here, and Was I correct in thinking we'll take the conditional use permit first? I don't have a preference, but it was listed as item A, so I thought we would go there first.
I believe that was the order set out in the agenda. That is fine with us.
Okay, so I'll let you move forward on this. It doesn't appear we have an applicant, but that happens with these sometimes, so.
Okay, so I am going to share my screen for presentation.
And while you're doing that, Mr. Gurney, can you just clearly spell your name for the audio recording?
Of course. So Darren Gurney, it's D-A-R-R-E-N, last name Gurney, G-U-R-N-E-E.
Great. Thank you for being here, sir.
Okay. So is my presentation showing on your screen?
It is. I sort of jumped the gun, but I had determined I would admit this presentation as Exhibit 20, so it has been admitted in the record.
Okay. So thank you for having me here today. So again, for the record, Darren Gurney, Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and I am a planner here at the county processing this permit through. As you can see on the screen, this is for the Nordgren Accessory Dwelling Unit Conditional Use Permit. Permit number 2102500 for the 24th here. So as you can see, our applicant is Michael and Donnell Nordgren with an agent Angela Butts from Highline Homes. The application was complete as of March 28th, 2021. And the notice of application went out on June 8th in 2021. We did not receive any comments for the notice of application. This permit requires a determination of non-significance, which was issued on July 8th, 2021. We did not receive comments in response to that either. So the presentation today will provide context, review criteria, and a recommendation from the department. So with that said, the applicant is requesting approval of a conditional use permit to construct an 800 square foot ADU to be occupied by the applicant's mother. And the proposed ADU would use an existing connection to Manchester Municipal Water. There's an existing septic system on site, and a new septic system will be installed to accommodate the proposed ADU. And the ADU, as you will see, meets all the applicable provisions applying to special uses per Kitsap County Code Section 17410060, as well as the criteria for a CUP approval per Kitsap County Code Section 17550030A. So the proposal is located in the southern area of Kitsap County, and this is in Commissioner District 2. The structure would be accessory to a single family residence permitted in 2008. And the proposal would be conditioned to meet the requirements of Title 17, specifically for ADUs in that 17410060B3. And the project will also be conditioned for stormwater controls pursuant to Title 12 and critical areas per Title 19. So the project location, for a little context, this is located at 3492 Harper Hill Road in Port Orchard. And as you can see, this is surrounded by rural residential. It is rural residential itself. The setbacks for that zone are 50 feet for the front, which is on the south end of the parcel, 20 feet on the sides, which is the east-west, and 20 feet to the rear, which would be on the north end of that parcel. And this proposal does meet all those setback requirements.
Sure, just while you have the slide up, Mr. Gurney, the way you're measuring that, it's that from the easement, clearly there's a sort of strange configuration of lots in this area, and it looks like there's a sort of a flagship lot that has a long access easement. And so on this otherwise landlocked property, we're measuring that front setback from the easement access as opposed to from Manchester Hill Road. Is that right?
That is correct. Okay. So the point of access establishes the front yard setback.
Great. Sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to, while we had the slide up, I thought that was a good time to ask. So,
no problem. It actually is addressed later as well, so you'll see more detail.
Excellent.
So our next slide is showing an aerial photo in a regional context. Let me hide this. So this is our regional aerial. It shows fairly consistent development patterns across rural residential zones, which is single family and garage structures and accessory dwelling units. And the proposal is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. A little closer in, showing the project location, as you can see, the county right-of-way, Harper Hill Road, is off to the east. And as you mentioned, there is an access easement that runs south of the property, providing access to the primary structure as well as the proposed ADU. This is our critical areas map. It is the best mapping and latest that we have provided by Kitsap County. As you can see, the parcel does not look like it is encumbered by any critical areas. We didn't see any reason to ask for additional reports due to slopes, geologic hazards, or wetlands or streams. So now I'd like to go over the criteria that we reference in our code. So the special use criteria for an accessory dwelling unit located in rural locations is 17410060B3. This only allows one accessory dwelling unit, whether that is a detached or an accessory living quarters, which is an attached, only allows one per lot. The owner must reside either in the primary residence or the accessory dwelling unit. Shall not exceed 50% of the square footage of the habitable area of the primary residence or 900 feet, whichever is smaller. The ADU shall not be located within or beyond 150 feet from the primary residence. It has to maintain the appearance of the primary residence, needs to meet all setback requirements, health standards for water and sewage. It cannot be an RV, a recreational vehicle, and it must use the same side street entrance and provide additional parking for the ADU. The conditions of approval proposed and recommended for this permit follow this criteria. So each of these items is addressed. Regarding comprehensive plan, land use goals and policies that support this project, I'm gonna go through these hopefully quickly but clearly. So we have land use policies as well as housing and human service policies that support this proposal. Land use policy 50 is to limit the designed rural area to low residential densities that can be sustained by minimal infrastructure improvements, cause minimal environmental degradation, and that will not cumulatively create the future necessity or expectations of urban levels of service. 51 is to permit residential uses in rural areas consistent with planned rural character of the surrounding area. And 53, outside of type 3 limited areas of more intense rural development, which we call our LAMRDs, we limit development only to that which serves rural residential or resource needs and does not draw population from urban growth areas. And this policy is implemented through comprehensive planned land use designations, zoning designations, and zoning code provisions. Housing and human services, policy number 5. This is to use regulatory strategies to incentivize and provide flexibility for development of affordable housing and special needs housing. Policy 7 is to adopt regulatory changes to allow non-traditional housing types, of which accessory dwelling units apply. Policy 11 is promote fair housing to ensure that all residents of Kitsap County have an equal and fair opportunity to obtain safe and sanitary housing suitable to their needs and financial resources, regardless of race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, age, national origin, family status, income, disability, or other protected classes. And three more policies. So identify and remove regulatory barriers and limits access to or the provision of a diverse affordable housing supply. Policy 13, identify and remove impediments to create housing for harder to house populations. and Policy 14, disperse affordable housing opportunities throughout the county. This slide shows our site plan for the proposed accessory dwelling unit and the existing home. Please note on the site plan, as we referenced before, the access is coming from the south. So technically the front setback is the south edge of the parcel here. This site plan reflects a front setback towards Harper Hill. However, with a 50-foot setback in the front and that switching to the sides on the east and west and the rear to the north, the proposed ADU still meets the requirements for setbacks in the zone. So the existing residents, in terms of what was submitted to the county based on a brochure for the residents, it shows as over 1,700 square feet of an existing residence. However, the assessor's information is what the county uses to establish the official square footage, which is 1,693 for your existing house. And the new ADU would be 800 square feet. For the 50% threshold, half of 1,693 square feet is 846.5, rounded up to 847. That would be the smaller between 900 square feet or the 50% threshold. And this ADU does meet that requirement of being under that 847 square feet. This slide shows the floor plans for our single family residence that exists on the property. We use this floor plan to determine the square footage of the home and to confirm that there are no additional accessory living quarters attached or accessory dwelling units on the property, of which there are none in this instance. Next, you'll see the floor plans for the accessory dwelling unit as proposed. This is showing the 800 square feet. We also use this floor plan to confirm that the number of bedrooms and health department approvals are based on the same information. So you have a 2-bedroom, 1-bath with a kitchen and dining room area and a utility closet. The photos you see here are of the single family home. These are somewhat the equivalent to elevations for the home. This identifies the architectural styles. This home was constructed in 2007-2008 with an associated permit. This provides the basis for the architectural style similarities that are required in the conditional use conditions of approval for this permit. The elevations of the accessory dwelling unit are provided on this slide and in the exhibits. These indicate several architectural features similar to the primary residence, some of which being the pitched roof, horizontal siding, the window treatments and trim. Color would be reviewed during the building permit phase and confirmed as it is a condition of approval to come close to or match the color style on the primary residence. So finally, the department is finding that the proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan. It's compliant with the requirements of Kitsap County Code and all other applicable regulations. It is compatible with the characteristics of the subject property and the immediate vicinity. And it is not materially detrimental to neighboring properties or others in the area. So the department is recommending approval with 26 conditions as identified in the staff report. And that is the conclusion of our presentation.
Great, thank you, Mr. Gurney. Just a few questions for you. So in the exhibits that I received, exhibit 14 is the determination of non-significance or DNS that was issued. Yes. Maybe we can stop sharing as well. This is, there we go. Okay. That was like a infinite time loop of my face. I didn't like that very much. But in the DNS, there is reference to the proponent being James Tatum. I assume that was an accident to the extent I recall we had a Tatum ADU not too long ago. And this is the Nordgren property. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Actually, you brought up a good point. That was one piece I was going to follow up on, is the SEPA determination referenced Tatum when it was actually Nordgren. It also had an incorrect reference to the parcel number, I believe, but we confirmed with our prosecuting office that the address did show where the property was located and provided sufficient opportunity for someone to comment.
Sure. And this one does reference that there being a comment regarding the property to the north with notable increase in stormwater runoff, but that also is not applicable to this proposal. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. So you consulted with your attorneys and they said, well, you know, notice was provided. If people had concerns or were interested, the projects are on file. We told them how to contact you and others, and anyone could have commented. And so they believed that the DNS issued was reasonable and provided enough of the necessary information, as it were, for anyone that might be interested to make any comments or concerns known. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. And with regard to the comment received, even if that comment was part of this project, the project does have to comply with our stormwater regulations per Kitsap County Code, which would address that comment concern.
Got it. Okay. So that was, again, you already had answered my question about how we address which setback is which. And so I think that's clear. And you indicated that really it would have no impact in this instance, because even the site plan was slightly off in how they identified where the setbacks were. But even taking the setbacks as we ought to take them, which is from the easement, there's no issue in terms of the location of the proposed structure, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then my other question just had to do with access. Clearly, like we've discussed a little earlier, it is a strange sort of, lot configuration, not the shape of the lots, but clearly there are some nearly landlocked properties here in this immediate area. And so this property receives access from, essentially the long driveway that serves the other property to the west. Obviously, notice was provided to the property owner to the west that technically owns that access, and no one expressed any concern about additional impacts to that easement or access easement from adding the ADU. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Great. Well, then has the comprehensive plan or zoning ordinances been amended in any way since this application was deemed complete that would have an impact on this proposal?
No.
Okay. And checking our participants. Let's see. We do have some attendees. I recognize Carla Lundgren from City of Bainbridge Island, but perhaps she's at Kitsap now. It's hard to keep track. Do we know Janet Lovett? Is this or is that for the next matter, actually?
That will be for the next matter.
Okay. So then we have a phone number that ends in 210. Do we happen to know who that might be?
I do not, but let's see here.
So if you're the number ending in 210, we are giving you the opportunity to participate. You might need to hit, I believe it's *6 on your phone to unmute yourself. But we're just trying to get a sense of who's in the room, if anyone has public comments.
This is Lee Nordgren, Arlita Nordgren.
Hello.
Mother who's the house is being built for.
Okay. Did you have any testimony you wanted to provide? If so, I'm happy to swear you in.
No, I don't. I'm just glad this is finally getting done. Thank you.
I did have a question, though, if you don't mind. Do you happen to know, have you anyone reviewed the staff report? I know you have an agent that was involved, Ms. Butts.
The aged mother, that's me.
Oh, okay. Well, here, I am going to swear you in then. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes.
And can you just clearly state your name for the record?
Arlita Nordgren.
And can you spell that for me?
A-R-L-E-T-A. Nordgren, N-O-R-D-G-R-E-N.
Great, thank you. So you were saying you are going to be the recipient of the ADU if this ultimately is approved. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. And so my question was, Mr. Gurney had prepared a staff report in advance of the hearing that provided, you know, a lot of detail on the proposal, but part of that was there are several recommended conditions of approval. Did you happen to have a chance to review that staff report and those recommended conditions?
I have seen staff reports, but I do not remember 24 or whatever it was recommendations. I'm sure we can apply. We can go with all of them.
Okay. So nothing you have heard today or nothing that has sort of come up between you and Mr. Gurney has led you to believe there would be any issues. Is that an accurate assessment of the situation?
That is correct.
Excellent. Well, did you have any other information you were hoping to share today?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for participating and calling in. And I'm going to check in with Mr. Gurney one more time, and we'll move on from there. And sorry, was I correct? Is Carla Lundgren a member of
yes.
County staff now? Okay, just wanted to make sure she wasn't participating. I couldn't remember if she had moved or not. So welcome, Carla, to Kitsap County. With that, Mr. Gurney, did you have any further thoughts you wanted to share on this particular matter before we move to the second item on the agenda?
I do not.
Okay, well, I don't always get to do this, but in this instance, based on the review of the exhibits that I received, again, the number on this particular matter, once we count the hearing sign-in sheet, would be 21, but between the review of the exhibits and the testimony that I heard here today, I don't see any issue with approving this proposal with the conditions that are recommended by county staff. Again, I do note our record will be open one additional week just in case there were folks that had issues with signing on. But essentially what will happen is a week from today, the record will close. And then within 2 weeks of that, I will have issued my decision approving the proposal with the recommended conditions. So I wish our applicant, Ms. Nordgren, and her family the best of luck on this project. And we're going to move on now to the second item on the agenda. And so that item would be number 2105172. And as I noted at the outset, this one involves a request for approval of a variance from the front setback requirements of the municipal code. It would be from 50 feet to 25 feet to allow for construction of a detached garage on a developed property at 7061 Pirates Cove Avenue Southwest. And my role on this one will be to review the proposal to ensure it complies with the comprehensive plan and the specific requirements for approval of a variance under section 17560010, I believe, of the municipal code. And I received, counting a staff presentation and hearing sign-in sheet, 11 exhibits in advance of the hearing on this one. And Mr. Gurney is also presenting this matter, so he's already been sworn in. But Mr. Gurney, I'll let you go ahead and start this presentation.
Okay. Once again, I'll be sharing my screen here. And is my presentation on your screen now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So once again, for the record, my name is Darren Gurney, Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and I am a planner here at the county, processing this permit through the hearing examiner. So this is the zoning variance, as you mentioned, for Lovett. That is permit number 21-05172. So the proposal, as you mentioned, is to reduce the front setback from 50 feet to 25 feet, which is a 50% reduction. And this would allow for the construction of a detached garage on a parcel with rural residential zoning designation in an area that is currently used for parking. Per Kitsap County Code, section 2104-100, the hearing examiner has review authority for this zoning variance application. So the property is located at 7061 Pirates Cove in Port Orchard, which is in South Kitsap, Commissioner District 2. Notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 and development land use and development procedures, which provides recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. And we did not receive any additional public comments. Again, to provide some context for the proposal, the site is zoned rural residential, and that is the district that is shown in green. The red outline is your parcel in question. Property to the west is designated within the city of Bremerton as regional airport, and the other properties to the north, east, and south are zoned rural residential as well. The aerial photo below shows development consistent with the rural residential zone, again with single family homes and garage structures. And the proposed structure placement with the zoning variance is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. This property is accessed via easement on the west side, and that will be clarified in the subsequent slides. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established in Kitsap County Code 17420 for density, dimensions, and design. And these include a 50-foot front setback to the west, 5-foot side setbacks to the north and south for accessory structures, and a 5-foot rear setback to the east for accessory structures. And the following subsection of Kitsap County Code, there is a footnote that is pertinent to this project, which is under Kitsap County Code 17420060A, and that is under footnote 48. It discusses shoreline properties and buffers in critical areas and those items that can actually intrude into those areas, such as cornices and canopies and eaves. And this does come into play when you discuss this property, as it does have wetlands in a majority of the parcel.
Okay, I was gonna ask you about that. So that footnote, it's staff's view that this would sort of count, or that particular provision is applicable. It discusses shoreline properties, but essentially staff's view is that under the municipal code or you're not saying that this property is subject to the county's shoreline master program, are you? I just want to make sure.
We are not. We're not saying it's part of shoreline, but that footnote also covers encroachment into front yard or required yard setbacks, which the front yard setback is part of this variance.
Okay, so it's essentially, it relates to the critical areas on the property, but it doesn't, invoke jurisdiction or anything under the Shoreline Master Program. It's really just...
It actually does apply in the last sentence of that footnote. It states open uncovered porches, balconies, landing spaces, or outside stairways shall not extend more than 6 feet into any required front yard and shall be a minimum of 5 feet from the front property line. So because this is a variance for the front yard, we felt that was pertinent to the application.
Got it. Okay, just wanted to check. So thank you for clarifying that.
Of course. So as you can see, this is our site plan. The property is currently developed with an 1,892 square foot single family dwelling with an attached garage that is shown in green. Has a paved driveway, detached shed, and a septic system associated with the drain field and reserve areas just to the north of the existing residence. Approximately 55% of the property is covered in and encumbered by a large wetland and an associated 150-foot buffer, which encompass the entire existing home site. The front, the west side of the property, is encumbered by a 50-foot easement and associated 25-foot buffer from that easement line, beyond which there is a 50-foot zoning setback. And the potential development area is further constrained by the septic system and the associated 10-foot no-build buffer, as well as zoning setbacks from the north of the property. The request for a 50% reduction of the zoning setback requires that type 3 process with the hearing examiner approval, and the project is exempt under SEPA, Kitsap County Code 1804 for the State Environmental Policy Act. I would like to note on this slide that this was provided by the applicant, and you'll note that in the larger context, the orientation of the building is slightly askew compared to the detailed site plan. However, the location of the building, regardless of its orientation, would have to meet the setbacks established by code or the reduced setback granted via approval of this variance.
And Mr. Gurney, while we had, that slide, the one we had up, just so I fully grasp, so we have this Pirates Cove Avenue Southwest, which is a great name, but that is a private access easement. I don't know if it's paved or not, but it's, then we have a 50 foot, I guess, easement from, is it the edge of Pirates Cove? And then we have another, what they have identified as a 25 foot no cut buffer. So it's essentially already have 75 feet from Pirates Cove Avenue Southwest.
So you actually have the 50 foot easement line, 25 foot easement, or 25 foot no cut buffer. And from that buffer, you have another 50 feet.
Okay. So I guess what I'm trying to wrap my head around is, where does the county's required front setback start?
The required 50-foot setback is this line here, just on the eastern edge of the proposed structure. 50 feet back from the easement line.
Okay, so essentially the way the county views this is, even though Pirates Cove, however it is on the ground, might only be a certain width, the easement itself is such that someone could have built that out significantly wider. That right of way that is allowed under the easement is significantly wider. So you go to the edge of, where the easement itself is, and then you go 50 feet from there. So the no cut buffer, is that something else? I mean, that's not a county requirement. Is that something in a CC&R, or what is the no cut buffer? That's not really a term of art.
That's correct. So the county, as far as I understand it here, the county only has the 50 foot setback. I did not see that we had a requirement in any subdivision that required the 25 foot buffer for the easement. That might be something that the applicant could clarify. Speak to.
Okay. So
it is a unique circumstance.
Sure. So I think I get it. So the way I'm sort of visualizing this is, in a way, almost ignore Pirate's Cove, go to the where the 50-foot easement ends. The code would require another 50 feet in the prop. Sorry, in this map, maybe it's not as clear because the request is for a reduction of 25 feet, correct?
Correct. So that reduction is from this line here to allow for the construction. So between the 50 feet here, the 50% reduction goes to 25.
Oh, okay. Then, okay. I think I get it then. Got it. Get it. Got it. Good. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Well,
of course, this is an interesting one for sure. So,
yeah.
So this is the proposed structure, the garage structure. And it doesn't have the requirements of an accessory dwelling unit to meet the visuals of the primary residence. However, it is fairly similar, but it's 20 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and 40 feet deep. That is, the structure is an allowed use per Kitsap County Code 17410, allowed uses as an accessory to the single family home primary use. Oh, I think I jumped. Okay. I don't know why I'm not having another image show up here. There should be an image that shows the critical areas. So if I do not have one later in the slideshow, I will want to pull one up so you can see that more clearly. So this is going over variance criteria. And the variance criteria, as you can see here, there are special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings that were not created by the applicant and do not apply generally to other property in the same vicinity or zone. For this parcel, we consider the lot size, the shape, the existing easements, and the critical areas with the associated buffers and building setbacks. We consider those to be special circumstances. And it did show up in a follow. So as you can see from this critical area map, this is something that is the best the county can provide through its GIS database. Shows a significant wetland across the site in the middle. You do have an area that is possibly developable on the back edge of the property, but this does not have any legal means of access other than the applicant being able to access by a canoe. So that's not very applicable for a garage. So this is part of the special circumstance. You'll see that other parcels do have some of this wetland and stream influence. However, this one is more encumbered by this than the others in the vicinity. So the other criteria is such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right or use of the applicant possessed by the owners of other properties in the same vicinity or zone. This is the minimum necessary to grant use for private property right. The area in question with the structure, that red box, is already an existing area where they park certain vehicle assets, but it's also an area where they could store additional assets for protection from theft and weather. This close-up aerial is showing a little more detail. You can see the access driveway, parking is available for the single-family home, and then the structure would again, show up in an area that is already being used for storage of assets. So the variance here would not be materially detrimental to the adjacent properties. It's actually rather consistent with adjacent properties. If you look to the north, you can see many of this, at least in the larger context, regional aerial, and then in this photo, you have a structure or two that are closer to this easement than the existing residence here, but it would be consistent with a garage. And again, with the critical area map here, it would be the minimum necessary to grant relief to the applicant. And finally, this is an example provided by the applicant showing the proposed building site where you have that storage area already as a gravel parking area. If you look off to the right, there are actually, this grass area is their drain field and reserve drain field beyond the fence in the back next to the structure. That is the wetland. So this is pretty much the only place remaining on the property available. So with that being said, this is a permit that the department is recommending for approval with the five conditions identified in the staff report. And this is the conclusion of our presentation.
Great, thank you. You've already answered most of the questions I had, just trying to wrap my head around where things get measured from. I guess one question I do have is related to the proximity to the airport. Sometimes properties that are this close to, facilities like airports, there's other restrictions or other review that's necessary. But am I correct in thinking that, during the, at least the building permit review process, were this to be approved, someone would make sure that any garage that's built would be, not have any detrimental impact on planes at the airport, that kind of a thing?
That would be correct. And most of the instances that are going to have concerns from the airport are when you are adding a dwelling unit or anything that could have the potential life lost if a plane were to crash into that structure.
But that was me knocking on wood. But point being that in this instance, this is a garage, is what you're saying. It's not a structure where anyone would be living. And so, that particular concern is not common. And further, there's limitations on height that really shouldn't have any impact, one would imagine. I mean, you're not going to be building a garage tall enough to cause problems on the flight path to any of these runways nearby. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes.
Okay. Great. And I asked earlier, and I'm assuming the answer hasn't changed, but nothing in the comprehensive plan or zoning ordinances have been amended since this particular application was deemed complete. Is that right?
No.
Okay. I think then that covers the actual questions I had for you now that I get a sense of the site plan. Why don't we go to the applicant and maybe they can clarify the site plan a little bit further. So we've got Janet Lovett. Hi, thank you for being here.
Hey there, how are you?
Hey, good, I can hear you. I'm gonna swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. Could you just spell your name for the audio?
Janet Lovett.
Great, thank you so much for being here. So this is your opportunity to present any additional information you feel that myself or members of the public should be aware of before I make a decision. And again, I had the question on sort of the, clearly there are all kinds of strange things, encumbrances and critical areas on site. But I think the particular question I had was something identified as a no-cut zone on the site plan that was provided. So if you could just explain what that was, that'd be very helpful.
I honestly was trying to gain an understanding of what exactly that was because I was provided that information from Roxanne at the DCD.
Okay.
But I don't have any better explanation because I'm in real estate myself, so I see a lot of title reports and land use restrictions, and I have not ever come across that myself in 17 years. So I don't know.
Okay. The only thing I could think is, was it a landscaping thing? Maybe the idea was, retain existing vegetation in that particular area. I guess my guess is as good as yours, it sounds like.
Yeah, all good questions.
Okay. Well, at least in terms of what's proposed, you know, are we, am I understanding your intent as the applicant, which is that, you know, rather than measure from the edge of Pirates Cove, I don't want to, Pirates Cove Southwest, the county measures that, you know, 50 foot setback from the easement itself, you know, so really it's, the structure would be quite far back from the road, as it were. So what you're requesting is a reduction of 25 feet from the edge of the easement. Is that my understanding? Line up with your understanding, Ms. Lovett?
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you. So really, do you have any other thoughts or comments you wanted to share? And further, I wanted to ask if you've seen the staff report, and if so, any issue with the conditions that were recommended by Mr. Gurney?
No, I have the staff report printed and I've had time to review it. There's no questions on my behalf at this time. The only thing, this is totally personal, but on the small rendering, I didn't realize I didn't adjust the building to on the small one, Darren. As soon as you put that up, I went, oh my gosh, how did I miss that?
Clearly, well, that is quite all right. I just have to clarify.
It takes a village. So I think we fully understand what's being proposed, and I get it. So I think we're good there. Any other thoughts or comments other than that one you wanted to share, Ms. Lovett?
No, I think Darren hit it. We're just looking to, number one, protect our assets and prevent theft. There's definitely a rise of concerns, especially in our immediate area of the Sunny Slope area. There's pretty frequent situations out here where my husband's actually called the sheriff's department. He's aided in having people with warrants arrested because we run that line of the airport and the racetrack. There's a lot of very sketchy things that happen out within a quarter mile of our house. And so we work hard and we'd like to make sure that our belongings are properly stored and secured as best as we can is really our number one situation. And then of course, prolonging the life of such assets by not having them sit outside in the elements.
Right. Yes. Things sitting outside in Washington don't do very well. So I fully understand. Based on what I've heard, let me make sure. I want to make sure we don't have other participants, by the way. Nope. Does not look that we have any other members of the public that have joined. So based on my review and what I've seen here today, I don't see any issue with writing a decision approving this variance request with the recommended conditions. Clearly, this is a very unique property, one of the more unique ones I've seen in a long time in terms of all the various critical areas and easements, etc. So clearly there is very limited space for development of any kind. And this is obviously a portion of the property that already has you know, been cleared of vegetation, et cetera. So I have no issue with that. We will leave the record open one additional week, as is the policy currently in Kitsap County, just in case there were members of the public that were hoping to participate in our remote meeting, but were unable to because of tech issues. But the record will close here in a week. And within 2 weeks of that, you will receive my decision approving the proposal with some similar form of the conditions that have been recommended by county staff. Okay. I don't know if we lost Ms. Lovett, but so I think with that, that will then conclude our hearing on these matters. Thank you, Mr. Gurney, and others that participated. And we can go ahead and end today's meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.